May I also say, along with Rod, it's good to see the presence of each and every one here this morning, especially those that are visiting with us, and we want to bid you a cordial welcome and hope that you come back each and every opportunity that you may have. If you would, I'd like for you to turn over to the book of Acts, and Acts the 9th chapter, and we will begin our study from these verses that we're about to read. Here a few weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I don't remember the exact date, but Jared had offered a invitation here, and he was talking about the kind of influence that we're to have. And either we have an influence for good, or we have an influence for evil. All of us have influences. And so what I would like to read is over in Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. Here Luke writes, he says, "At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they had laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to an upper room. And all of the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them." And so here we see the kindness that evidently in all the good works and deeds that this lady Dorcas had done. And how that they mourned her death. And after her death, they talked about all of the things that she had done, all the things that she had made, and all the good deeds that she had bestowed upon others. And so we see that there was a remembrance of her in her life, in the life that she had lived. And you know, I think we all want to be remembered. And we would all like to be remembered well. Some will be remembered for the good that they have done, for their good lives that they have lived, the good examples that they have set, and yet others will not. And so we need to, in this lesson, we should all want to be remembered as Dorcas was remembered. In the Sermon on the Mount, we have Jesus, the words of Jesus recorded in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, where Jesus said, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, also do to them. For this is the law and the prophet." However, not all will be remembered this way. Some will be remembered for their evil, for the wicked or unkind acts that they bestow themselves and upon others. Their hatefulness, their harshness, their bitterness, their disrespect, their holding grudges, their gossiping. Some will be remembered for these type things. Names like Cain, Ahab, Judas Iscariot, Hitler, Nero. All of these remind us of not good, but of evil. And so the question that I want to ask this morning is simply this: how do you want to be remembered? And so we need to think about this. I know that many of us have thought of this at one time or another, and let us think about that. How do you want to be remembered? How now is the time that we need to work on establishing that memory, whether that is a good memory or a bad memory. And if we want to be remembered well, today is the day that we need to start working toward that goal so that we will be remembered well as Dorcas was. She was loved by many that was around her because of all the things that she had done, all the good that she had done. Let me ask you this. How do you want to be remembered as a father or as a husband? How will your children remember you? As a father who very seldom goes to church, as a father who they very seldom see praying, or one that they never saw reading the Bible. What about the Bible that tells us, it teaches us, when we read the Bible, it tells us that we are to assemble. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are you a father that they remember that the father was preparing the day before and the night before for the worship service on that Lord's Day morning? Or was that a father that could care less and never thought of these things? It also tells us that the Scripture tells us that we are to pray. But are we a prayerful as a father or as a husband? Do we pray before our children? Do we pray with our children before they go to bed at night? Do we pray with one another as a husband and a wife? Do we sit down and take that time to read the Scriptures? Here Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we continue to pray and we never stop praying, but what that means is that it needs to be a habit for me. That's something that is part of my life. Part of my life as a father and a husband should be in prayer. We should pray in the morning when we wake up for the good night's rest, for being able to see another day. We should pray throughout the day as things are taking place. We need to pray at night before we go to bed so that we can have a good night's rest. And we need to pray for all kinds of things. For our food, do we sit down and pray when we sit down to eat? Do we thank God for the food that He has provided us with? Do we thank God for the clothing that we have, the jobs that we have, the ability to work? Do we pray for those things? So many times I think we think about, look what all I have accomplished and what I have done. And it's I. But God has provided all of these things for us. And we should pray for this. And we should study our Bibles. It says to study, to show yourself approved, or to diligently present yourselves approved of God as a worker that needeth not be ashamed, but then can rightly and correctly divide the word of truth. I have heard people say, I don't understand, or I don't know where I went wrong when it comes to raising their children. What happened to my child? Where did they wander off to? Maybe as a father, you never had time for them. Not saying that's the case, because many times there are fathers and parents that they do everything they can, and that child has to make their own mind up. God made them free moral agents, and where they were free to choose whichever path they want to take. So I want us to understand this. Sometimes you can do everything correctly and the child still fades away. But we need to always ask ourselves this question. Where did I go wrong? Was there something else I could have done? And maybe if there is something, you can help someone else. Or if you're a young parent, you need to be thinking about that while you're raising your children. Just like the tree, when you first plant the tree and it's a sapling, you know, the wind just blows it whichever way. You stake that tree out so it's going in the right direction. Because one day it's going to be whichever way that it bent or whichever way it was staked out, that's the way it's going to grow. And that child is going to be the same way. And if you're not setting the right example before your children, someone else will. And they will listen to someone. And why not listen to the parents? Set that right example before them. Maybe this example as a father, you never had time for them. Maybe as a father, you were unkind. Maybe you were unconcerned. Or maybe you were always too busy doing other things and you neglected the child. Maybe you never listened to what that child had to say. And I know sometimes I've got some grandchildren that once they get to talking, it's just like, oh, how much more can you come up with? Or how many more questions? I have one daughter, granddaughter, that she'll ask you a question. You give her a good answer. She's got a question about that answer. Then a question about that. Her questions never cease. I mean, you finally have to say that's enough. But you know what? If you do not listen to them, whatever they're asking as that young child, it's very important to you, to them. It's just as important as the most important decision that you're making at that time. And if we neglect as fathers to listen to what our children are asking or what they are saying, someone will listen to them. And someone will give them the answer, but it may be the wrong answer. So as a father, we have responsibilities in raising that child. And we need to ask ourselves, did I always listen? Or was I unkind? I always tied up in myself and what was going on with me that I didn't have time for them. Why they don't assemble today may be that they saw you, one who was always criticizing others in the church. Maybe they saw that you were selfish or self-centered. Maybe they saw it was all about you. You know, I had a young lady tell me this one time when I was trying to go to her. I knew her as a child from way back. And I'm trying to go to her to restore her. And she's asking about some of the people over to church where she once attended. And as we were discussing, well, these people had gotten upset and they went over to another congregation. Then those people, they got upset and they went to another congregation. And they just kept moving. And you know, her answer was, yeah, I hear all these people thinking that they were Christians all going to heaven. They're no better off than I am in not going. Now, of course, she had the wrong attitude. But as Christians, do we not act that way? As a father, does our children see us always talking about someone else, maybe in the world or maybe even in the church, and trying to put them down for one reason or the other? Maybe that's the reason that I didn't set the right example and they have left to go other places. Will they have beautiful memories of you? As a praying father, as a father that was a devoted Christian, as a father that was understanding and loving, is that what they will remember, or will they remember these other things? If we want to be a father that is remembered well, I need to be working on that now. I should have been working on it for a long time. But if we haven't been, we needed to. Let me ask you, how will your wife remember you as a husband? Will she remember you as unkind, inconsiderate, self-centered, a man that thinks only of himself no consideration for her? Will she remember you as the man who never bowed down to pray with her or go to worship with her? Will she remember you as a man who put her down before others? A man who forced his authority and his will, never considering her feelings or her concerns? Will she remember you as an unfaithful husband? One that did not keep the wedding vows and was unfaithful to her? Will she remember you as a godly man or a hardworking man? A loving mate who put Christ first in his life? She's going to remember you one way or the other. Which will it be? And if it is the prior that we discussed, maybe I need to get work to work, becoming the kind of man that I want to be remembered as a loving husband, a faithful husband, one that was considerate to her, not being a dictator to her, but helping her. As the scripture says, knowing that she is the weaker vessel, to help her. She is to be a helpmeet. God provided the woman for the man. The man was not complete without the woman. But so many times we want to treat our wives if they are dust under our feet, when they are the ones that we are to be thankful to God that He has provided someone that will be by my side and take care of me and will honor me as what she should. And yet we treat her so bad. Will she remember you as being a kind man? I sometimes joke around about Lori. And I'll tell her that how lucky she is to be blessed with a man like me. And you know, I say that in fun, but you know what? She has the right answer when she comes back. She's been 41 years working and molding me into the man that I am, and she said, I still got a whole lot of years left to work. And we need to think about these things. What kind of husband am I to my wife? Am I respectful to her? You know, I didn't realize this as much as I did about 5 years ago. I remember when I was going to ask Jack for Lori's hand in marriage. Well, you know, Jack and I, we run around all the time. We studied the Bible together. You know, we did fun things together. We laughed and talked and everything. And I thought, you know, he's my buddy, you know. And so I was thinking, you know, this is going to be real easy. Go ask him for Lori's hand. Boy, he made that so miserable for me. I mean, I was sweating that I was so nervous talking to him. And so he knew exactly what I had come over to his house to do. And so we go around in the backyard, and of course I'm mumbling around talking about his rose bushes and this and that, and I could care less about all that stuff. I'm just trying to get up the nerve to ask him. And, you know, I was expecting him, when I asked him that question, oh, yeah, and I can't wait for you to be my son-in-law. You know, I just knew that was going to be his answer. He was going to be thrilled. But you know, he asked me a question. He said, I'll answer you this way. He said, if you can promise me from the bottom of your heart that you will do everything in your power to make her happy, to comfort her, and most of all, help her make heaven her home. That wasn't what I expected to hear. But you know, when Jared come ask for Ashley's hand, I knew exactly what Jack felt. And I made Jared feel just as miserable as I was. And I told him the same thing. Because you know, when you go through life, that's what's important to you, is making heaven your home. And you know, when you have raised your children in the right way, or the way that you think that you're doing correctly, you know, well, you don't want some man to come along and take her away. and take her in a different direction. So yeah, as a father, you're very concerned about those things. And, you know, we should be. And if we set the right kind of example before our children as fathers, some of that, if not all of it, will stick. And they will find the kind of man that will help them go to heaven. And that's what we're after. Maybe in the Old Testament, in Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 2, Solomon says, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. Will you be remembered this way? Will you be the kind of man that will find favor with the Lord? We might ask this question. How do you want to be remembered as a mother or a wife? Will your husband remember you as a nag? Never content, always complaining, no matter what takes place, always complaining, always nagging about something. An unloving helpmeet, a poor housekeeper, an unforgiving, grudge-holding mate, a mate that did not love the Lord? Or will he remember you as a loving and patient, a kind and a forgiving wife, one that stuck to you through thick and thin, one that will build you up when you are tore down with things, with struggles in the life, that she's there by your side helping to build you up and lift you up? Will she be one like that? Will she be a faithful Christian? In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, notice what Solomon says. He said, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. How will he remember you? He's going to remember you one way or the other. If you leave this life before him, he's going to remember you as some of these good things we talk about or some of these evil things. And so if you think some of these evil things are going on, it's time to get to work and work on yourself to be a better wife. How will your children remember you? How will they remember you as a grumpy, cantankerous woman? Will they remember you that you are bossy, that you're like a dictator, not ever thankful, but always demanding? Is she going to think, are your children going to think that of you? Or a woman who professes godliness, as Paul talked about over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Not only in the way that she dresses, but the way that she conducts her life as a godly woman. Will your children remember you that way? Is that kind of mother? Or a woman who helped in the training of her children in the Lord along beside her husband? The woman who taught her daughters how to be good wives and how to be good mothers? How would they remember you? The next thing that we want to look at is, we're not going to leave the kids out. How do you want to be remembered as a child? You know, the young die too. There are so many people that I've known, and I know you have too in life, that as teenagers, they have died. Before they become teenagers, they have died. Young people that just first got married and their life just beginning have been killed in car wrecks. They die of some kind of disease. So there is no lease on life when it comes to age. None of us have that. It comes not only just the old, but the middle aged and the young. How will your parents remember you? Will they remember you as a rebellious child? One that was insubordinate? One that was inconsiderate, one that backtalked your parents, always being sassy, whatever they say, no, I need you, no, you need it, no. Is that what they hear? Is that what your parents hear? The ones that have taken time to help you, to be there with you when you're sick, to clothe you, to take care of your every need. But then we come to a certain age that all we want to do is we want to fuss and fight about everything that they do. And we want to put them down for the kindness that they have shown to us. You know, they didn't have to bring you into this world. Sometimes there are children that are adopted from other families. They didn't have to adopt you. They didn't have to take you in. But because of the love that they had for you, they took you in. How are they going to remember you if you die? Are they going to remember you as this rebellious child that's always sassing and back-talking? Gimme, 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 gimme. Only happy if you're getting something, never wanting to return. Maybe you are a child that is a know-it-all, that you can't tell them nothing. Try to give them advice. But no, they're going to learn by the college of hard knocks, as we used to call it. They're going to find out the hard way. And here all they're trying to do is to keep you from suffering some of those things. Maybe they've already been through that. And so they don't want you to suffer the same consequences. We need to be loving children toward our parents. And we should honor them in what they do. Are you one that is sassy, hateful tone when you address your parents, not showing any kind of respect or any kind of honor? Or would they remember you as a sweet and obedient child, one that follows after what is taught in the Scriptures? If you would, look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. This is addressed to the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. There's a reason that we're to have that kind of honor and respect for our parents, so that we can live long upon this earth. And here it is a command. It's not an option. When we read the Scriptures, it's not an option. It is a command of how that we are to treat our parents. In Colossians 3 and verse 20, let's look at this verse, children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So if you want to be well-pleasing to the Lord, you obey your parents in all things. The only exception to that is, like what we read in Ephesians, obey your parents in the Lord. As long as they are doing the command that they're giving you, what they're trying to get you to do is in line and in tune with the Lord's will, then I'm to obey my parents. Always. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, the Proverb of Solomon says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. In Proverbs 15 and 20, it says the same thing, but instead of it saying a glad father, it's a joyful father. Instead of saying grief, it is talking about one that is weighs this heavy burden on the mother. As children, do we have work we need to do as a child in trying to obey our parents so we can be pleasing to God? Let me ask you this. What about as a neighbor? How will your neighbors remember you? Will they remember you as a fussy, disagreeable, harsh, unkind neighbor? Or one who never lended a helping hand? Will they remember you as a good person who really cared about others? They visited you. They helped you when you needed help. They tried to teach you the gospel. You are a kind of person that went the second mile. Instead of just doing a little, you just went further and further trying to help that person. You know, the scripture says, Jesus said, the one that asks you to go 1 mile, you go 20, you go 2. You put out that extra effort. Are you that kind of neighbor? You know, in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, we won't read all these verses, but you might want to write them down and read them for yourself. Beginning with verse 25, going through verse 37. And here the story is that there was some lawyer that had come and asked Jesus about eternal life. And Jesus told him, you know, what does the law say? And here the man says, he quotes the law that Jesus had quoted to his disciple, to love your Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is what one needed to do in order to receive eternal life. Now then, this lawyer, wanting to be justified, he asked another question. He said, well, who is my neighbor? And then we have the story that Jesus told about the man that was traveling down Jericho Road and how he was met up with thieves, and they had beat him up and stripped him of his clothes and all the things that he had. And then here we have a priest that walks by on the other side when they see him. A Levite comes and does the same thing. Then here's this Samaritan. He comes along. He nurses him back to health. He carries him to an inn. He has him put up. He has the doctors to fix him up, give him all what he needs. He gives some money to the innkeeper, and he said, you take care of him, and if there's anything that he needs more when I return, I will give it to you. Now then, that's a neighbor. That don't mean just the person that's next door to you in your house. That's anyone that we see that we need to lend a helping hand to. What kind of neighbor will you be? How do you want to be remembered as a Christian or as a member of the Lord's body, the church? How will the members of the church remember you if you were to pass from this life? And each and every one of us in this crowd today need to ask ourselves that question. How will I be remembered by others that are here? They will either remember you as something good, or they will remember some evil about you. And so the question is, how do I want to be remembered? Are you the kind of person that is a member of the Lord's body, that's undependable, not able to be counted on? Are you the kind of person that is always complaining, grumbling about something? And I want you to notice something. When you find a member of the Lord's body that is always grumbling and always complaining, that is the one person that's not willing to do anything. But they want to complain about everything else and what everybody else is doing. And we need to, you know, is that Christian-like? Here, I want to complain and grumble, but I don't want to do it. Well, don't complain about the ones that are doing it then. Or are you the kind of member that is a backbiter, one that is hateful, one that is unkind, one that is self-willed, one that is arrogant, one that is all about self? Or are you one as a good steward? One that is willing to sacrifice. One that is willing to sacrifice not only money, but their time. Sacrifice in any way as far as going to help the sick, to visit the sick, to visit those that are in need? Or is it all about, I want to be seen? But what are we doing behind closed doors when nobody sees? I remember they, and I probably told this story before, but I remember that there was a woman in Duncanville, Texas, where Lori and I used to live and worship. And this woman, she would come into services. All you would ever see is how she would come into service, she'd speak to people, and she'd sit down. And, you know, she would sing songs, and she'd, you know, participate. She never really talked out much in class or anything like that, and then she'd get up and leave. But what you didn't know was this. Every single day, she was either taking somebody to the hospital, she was visiting the sick that were in the hospital, the shut-ins, the ones that were in the nursing home. She was carrying food to people. If anyone was missing in that service, she was the one that called on them, carried them food every single time. She was busier than anyone else in that whole congregation. But you know what? She didn't need her works to be seen among men. She did them in secret. And God will reward those that do in secret. He will reward them openly. But the one that openly wants to be seen is the one that God is going to shun against. You're not to do it that way. That's like what the Pharisees did. They would be on the street corners and all their phylacticals or wide vestures, and they would hold them out. Look at me. And being seen and heard on the street corners. That's what it was all about for them. That was their reward, he said. That's all they're going to get. And if you're that way, that's the only reward that you're going to receive, is what you're receiving in this life. Because it's not about me or you. It's about God. And it's about glorifying Him. And glorifying the Son for what He did, the sacrifice He did for us. But sometimes as a Christian, we don't have it all together is what we should. We may think we do, but we don't. Are we going to be the kind of Christian that is always letting our light shine, helping others come to Christ, studying with other people, setting the right example before them? Or will you be remembered as an unfaithful, uncommitted, very seldom in Bible class or at the assembly? Does it matter? Of course it matters. Absolutely, it matters. And you know, he's dead and gone now, but there was a member of this congregation, Jim Frazier. Many of you remember Brother Jim. Brother Jim was a great leader. He was very wise. He had wisdom. He had integrity. He was faithful. And he was a great example. He was one that was dedicated and devoted to the work of the Lord. And he wasn't trying to seek praise from anyone. But he was always busy. And the kind of example that he set, because him and Marlene were late in life becoming Christians. They wasn't Christians until after they started having children. And if you ever heard the story about them, here, Jim, he studied his Bible. And he searched for the correct church, the one that preached what the Bible said. And he finally found it. And he became a gospel preacher, and he preached in many places that he was at. All of his children are faithful. His grandchildren are faithful. That shows the kind of example he was as a husband, and as a father. And we should be the same way. And how are... He's been gone for several years now. But we still remember him. And all the good that he did. And the work that he did in this congregation. I still remember the last words he said the day he died. He called me on the phone. And he was giving encouraging words to me as a gospel preacher to preach the word. You continue in preaching that word and you stand for the truth always. Do not waver. He said, because the time is coming where it is going to be very difficult for you to stand in this world the way it's going. And these were some of the last words in his life. He was concerned about the congregation here and what was going to happen to it. Now then, will we be remembered as a man or a woman in the same way that Jim is remembered? Or will we be remembered as the one that was always stirring up trouble, always complaining, always, you know, wanting to fight about something, all about me, not about the whole picture, which is the Lord's work? Many people end up destroying the Lord's work in certain communities because of their own selfish motives. We read about that in the Bible. The Diotrephes. Always wanted the preeminence. We need to be careful that we're not caught in that same light as he was. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Here Paul, he gives these words to Timothy. He said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. In conclusion, you are building tomorrow's memories today. How are you building is the question. Do you need to make some changes? The Bible calls for repentance. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and verse 9, Peter says, the Lord is not slack or slow as some men count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so every day that we wake up, we need to be thankful to God that he's given me one more opportunity to make things right. Because one day his patience will run out. And then I will be asked to give an account, as same as you, for the life that I have lived while upon this earth. And we'll all be judged by the things that are done in this body, whether good or whether evil. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and in verse 5, he says the same thing, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. If you died today, you need to ask yourself this question: how would you be remembered a week from now, a month from now, a year from now? How would you be remembered? I want to close with this. There is a tombstone that is over here not too far from McKinney in Farmersville, Texas. I have seen the tombstone. I have read it. And this is what it says on this. It says this: remember, friend, as you walk by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon shall be. Prepare you now for eternity. There's a lot said in that inscription that is on that tombstone. Because one day we will be in the grave. Just like that man is in the grave. And what we need to know, or what we need to do, am I living the life that I need where I will be remembered? And am I prepared for eternity? Because if I go into eternity unprepared, what a shame that will be. The Hebrew writer says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And what a fearful thing it will be if we are unprepared. So we need to be prepared. We can do something about it right now, today. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by simply obeying the gospel. To be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. This is the way you receive the remission of sins. Then you can walk up and walk in a new life. And if you are a Christian and there's some sin in your life that needs to be corrected, don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. You may never see tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Repent of those things before it's everlastingly too late. And if we can assist you in doing any of this, we'd ask that you come while together we stand and sing.